love. enjoyed that this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Kings chapter number 3, please. 1 Kings chapter number 3. I wish I had a good memory. I'd tell you who that lady is sitting on the back there, but she's from over at Homeland. Miss Eve, do you remember her name? No. Diane, that's right. And your husband's name was Doyle, or is your last name Doyle? His husband's name is Doyle, okay. Well, amen. It's good to see you, sis. Thank you for praying for us. Amen. Others today that are visiting with us, maybe your church hasn't started back up yet. And I want to say this regarding the COVID-19. I'm trying my best as pastor to keep an eye on things. And I know there's a county, and I don't know, it's Troutdale County, that in a week's time they went from 100 and some cases to over 1,000 cases. Now, whether it's a result of whether they just got started testing, you understand what I mean? But I believe God expects us to use wisdom, don't you? And we're doing our very best to keep an eye on things. And I hope and pray that y'all know my heart well enough to know I wouldn't want you to be put in jeopardy for nothing in this world. But I do know this. Every time we get in a vehicle, we don't know if we're going to make it to where we're going. I know there's a God that's bigger than a virus and bigger than every obstacle that we have in this walk of life. But I do believe he wants us to use wisdom. I'm going to read the text this morning. And Brother Jeff Campbell's with us, Bob's dad. Brother Jeff, when I finish reading the text, I'd like for you to come, if you would, please, and lead us in prayer. Pray for this pastor, pray for this service. And I appreciate Brother Jeff. He and I were on our knees most of the day yesterday. I'd like to tell you that we were praying, but we weren't. We were praying we could get up when we got done. Amen. Working on a handrail for Bob and Charity. You know, they go to work, do the easy work, leave us behind to do the hard work. I just don't understand how things work sometimes, amen. But anyway, that's what papaws will do, ain't it, Brother Jeff? We'll do everything we can to be a blessing, amen. If you have your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 3, you've been sitting there long enough. If you're able, stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. I appreciate you being here today. This is probably going to be one of the most unusual Mother's Day sermons I've ever preached in my life. But I believe it's what God wants us to have for this hour. And I believe it'll be a blessing. It's my prayer that it will be. The Bible, if you understand 1 Kings chapter 3, we'll back up into it maybe just a little bit after a while. But Solomon has had a dream. Brother Steve, in that dream, God tells Solomon, you just ask. What is it you want? And we understand that Solomon didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for anything for himself. But he said, Lord, your people so great. And he said, I'm just like a child. He said, God, what I need is wisdom. And so God grants, Brother Preston, this wisdom to Solomon. And then immediately, Solomon's wisdom is put to the test. And that's what we're going to read about today, starting in verse number 16, 1 Kings 3:16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house, or except us two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. If it was a common practice in this day and time, you didn't have a crib. And for reasons of warmth and other reasons, if the baby needed to be fed in the night, they would sleep with the mother. Well, there's an accident that's taken place here. The mother has rolled over on the child and smothered the child, and the child has died. It's tragic. I believe one of the most tragic things we ever face in the ministry, Brother Steve, is the coffins that are about that long. It's tragic what's happened. He said, "Preacher, she was a harlot." I don't care. She was a mother. And it was tragic. Now watch. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. In verse 20, "And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king." Now, we've got this going on even today with accusations. It's her word against her word. And now we've got this going on in the politics and the political realm today. It's his word against her word. Watch this now. "Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. I started to bring my sword from the house that a Filipino missionary gave me, but I remembered that all the children that are here today would be in the auditorium, and I didn't want to scare them. But I thought about illustrating. Solomon said, Bring me a sword. They laid the baby down there. He said, Divide the baby in half. Just cut it right down the middle. Give half of it to her and half of it to her. You think about this situation for just a minute. And the word of God said here, they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two. Give half to the one, half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, For her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. Is there a mother in the house that would say amen? Don't cut my baby in two. Just give it to her. But the other said, Let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it. How many believe Solomon's got a pretty good picture? I believe he had a pretty good picture even before this of what was going on. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Now watch verse 28. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Brother Jeff, you come. You can be seated. We'll bow for prayer in just a moment. Let me say while Brother Jeff is coming, how many would ask God right now to speak to your heart today? Let's ask him to do that. Ask him to meet with us today. Brother Jeff, lead us in prayer, would you please, brother?
Thank you, Brother Rick. Let's pray. Lord, we pause for your word. We come before you humbly. As we read the scriptures, we see the wisdom of God was on Solomon. We pray for your wisdom, dear God, in our lives. We pray for your leadership in the church, for Brother Rick, dear God, give him wisdom, give him understanding, give him the power of God on his preaching, as he reveals what God has put on his heart to challenge us. We thank you this morning for the special morning we can remember the mothers. the special mission you've given each, the ones who are willing to mother the children, to be that home. Bless them, Lord. Draw them close to you. Use us, dear God, for your service in all that we do. Dear God, we love you. We thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. I want to use kind of for a springboard a couple of things in the message today. This is where we're going to tell our age. But how many of you remember a television program called Truth or Consequences? How many remember that? Okay. I'm surprised you don't remember that, Nick, as old as you are. Amen. You remember they would have two people that were trying to trick the contestants, so to speak, and they would ask a series of questions trying to figure out who that real person was. And then at the end of the show, and I can remember this vividly, how that one would start to stand up, Brother Steve, and then sit back down and start to stand up. It was just kind of like suspense. And I want to preach today on this. Will the real mother please stand up? Will the real mother please stand up? I believe what's revealed in our text today is the heart of a real mother. And I want to share with you some things today that I hope and pray will be a blessing to you. I read the other day, I think it was Friday, about a second grade class that the teacher had taught a very thorough lesson about a magnet and how the magnet would pick up the nails and pick up the screws and pick up things that were metal. And she taught a very thorough lesson, used an illustration and all that. And the next day, she gave a quiz, just a one-question quiz. Said, I start with M, I have six letters, and I pick up things. Almost 50% of the second graders wrote down the word mother. They had forgotten all about the magnet and wrote down the word mother. If you're a mother, I promise you this, you've picked up some things. And Sister Miriam, it wasn't always the children that put them there. See, I'm married too, amen. Brother Jim Hagee would say, I'm married and got a car. Amen. I don't know what the car's got to do with it, amen. But in the text today, I believe God wants to encourage us. You think about Mother's Day, and I think in years gone by, some of the things, Brother Steve, I've talked about Mary, that woman that was highly favored among women. She had the privilege to be the mother of our Lord Jesus. She was a virgin. You think about Lois and Eunice, the mother and the grandmother of Timothy. You think about the woman, Brother Ike, in Proverbs chapter number 30, is it? Is it 30 or 31? 31, Proverbs 31, I believe. The virtuous woman. And all of those are wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day texts, and I'm sure there's others. The first thing I want to say about this real mother is she has a past. And I want you to know this today. Her past wasn't real pretty, but she was still a good mother. If you had to have a past that was perfect or anywhere close to it to be a good father, I would not qualify. But I'm glad for the grace of God. The Bible starts out here and says, then came there two women that were harlots. They both had children. They both had a child. What I want you to understand and see today is that God, in His economy and in His kingdom, does not want us to let our past keep us from being what we ought to be today. Paul said it like this, Brother Houston. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, Honey, I'm telling you, if you know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, forget about the past. And just be that good mother that God wants you to be right now. A real mother, her past. Think about it for just a moment. I believe this story is told throughout all of Israel. I believe that after that this happened, the Bible said all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. I believe it was told over and over and over. I believe this little boy, when he grew up, I believe that he knew what his mother used to be because it was told over and over and over and over. We're still preaching about it today. But I want you to know this, beloved. God never wants us to let our past stop us from being what we ought to be today by the grace of God. We see her past. I don't know about you, but I believe there's a reason that God put stuff like this in the Bible. He knew, Brother Kenny, there'd be a whole lot more of us in this world with a past that wasn't pretty than they are with a past that is pretty. And God wanted to give us hope. God wanted us to know that it's not over. You can still do what I want you to do. You can still be what I want you to be for the glory of God. I think it's important, don't you? I didn't write it down, and my memory's not real good, but I do know this, that Rahab, the harlot, that's what the Bible says over and over and over when you see the word Rahab. Rahab, the harlot. Rahab, the harlot. Until you see her name in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God leaves off the harlot. I'm so glad, beloved. Listen, when you and I bring our sins to the cross and Jesus Christ puts them under the blood, I'm so glad He's not digging in them anymore. They're forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, the depths of the sea. John didn't stand on the banks of the Jordan River and cry, "Behold, the Lamb of God that'll dig in your sin as long as you live." He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, this should not only give us hope that know Christ as our Savior, but how it ought to cause us to pray for those that right now are still living like this woman lived in her past, like some of us lived in our past. How it ought to give us hope to pray and, beloved, to understand that there's a God in heaven that can change things. In a moment of time, He can change things. She's a real mother. We see her past. There's something else that I see this morning. I see her compassion. Now, the Bible said here that, I won't read it all again, but one of the woman's, her child died. Let me just bring this out in case I forget it after a while. Here's a bad situation. It makes one mother a better mother, and it makes another mother a bitter mother. When we come to these situations in life, beloved, listen, that's what they'll do to us. The trials will either make us a better person or they'll make us a bitter person. You say, "Preacher, you believe that mother that lost her child was bitter?" Any mother that could stand there and say, "Divide it in half," is bitter. Something that happened. She's hurt. You know she's hurt when she figures out that her baby's dead. She's got to be hurt. But she does the wrong thing to try to deal with the hurt. She denies it. Runs in there and lays the dead baby in her arms and takes her baby in her arms. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean the compassion of this real mother?" Well, in the middle of the night this happened, and in the morning, you know, where we live, you normally if you get up before daylight, some people don't do that, and I understand. But normally one of the first things you're going to do is flip a light switch. Now, in these days, they didn't flip a light switch. I'm not sure, and I won't be dogmatic where the Bible's not dogmatic, but I'm not sure that this mother didn't recognize something was wrong before the light, the lamp, was ever turned up. Because how many believes that those babies, now they might, to us men, that a baby crying might just sound like a baby cry, but how many believes to a mother they can tell the difference, amen, from one baby's cry to the other? They went through the jaws of death to deliver them. And it could be when this baby began to whimper, began to cry, and want to give suck, want to be fed, Brother Steve. It could be that the mother already understands and recognizes something's not right here. That don't sound like my boy. I remember when you going on sound the other way around. I remember when I went in with my wife when Charity was born. The first two children, I didn't go in with her. I just bought the cigars and waited out in the hallway. Amen. Thought it's what you're supposed to do. But I got saved before Charity was born. I went back with my wife, and Charity came out of there, and the nurse, every time I would speak, Charity, her head would, the nurse said she knows his voice. And Miss Eve said she ought to, said she's been listening to him preach for 9 months. And God knows she needed preaching right then, and still today she still needs preaching. Amen. You say, "Preacher, how could you say that about your daughter?" We all need it. We all need the Word of God. This woman, I believe she may have recognized it. There's just something, and then and she gets the lamp turned up, and now, you know, there's birthmarks. There's eyes. There's noses. I mean, I got two twins in this church, and I still ain't figured it out. I think I'm going to hit one of them with a paintball right between the eyes. Martha, they were leaving last week, Martha and Esther. And I said, "Martha." So Martha turned around. I said, "You too, Esther." Amen. I love them to death. But I'm going to tell you something. Am I right? Your mommy has no problem at all. None whatsoever. I could talk to one of them on the phone. I'd have no idea who I was talking to, but their mommy knows exactly who Martha is and exactly who Esther is, though they're twins. I believe this mother, her love for her baby, I believe she knew something just wasn't, something wasn't right. The compassion, the love that she had for her child. The Bible said, "But when I considered it," in verse 21, "in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear." I want to say this. I don't know why it came to my mind. I guess a man probably better not say everything that comes to his mind. But I believe mothers ought to stick to raising their own children. I've heard this said, Brother John, and I think you've heard it said too. All the preachers know how to raise kids until theirs become teenagers. They can tell you exactly what you ought to do, A, B, C, D, and E. But it's a work in progress. Somebody help me. Amen. But thank God, we see her past. We see her compassion, her love for her baby. Not only is her love demonstrated in that mourning experience, but her love, listen to me carefully, is demonstrated in the fact that she understands We have to carry this situation before the king. Oh, give us some mothers, amen, that'll understand. If they don't get anything else done in this world, let's get our children before the king. We may not have the answer, but thank God he does. He has the answer. Her compassion. I see something else in this message. Will the real mother please stand up? Not only her past and her compassion, but I see her sacrifice. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, you understand when they got there before Solomon and the argument went back and forth, she's mine, no, he's mine, no, he's mine. That Solomon said, bring me a sword. Bring me a sword. Let's divide the baby. You say, preacher, where do you see sacrifice in this? Listen to me carefully. Here's a real mother. I'd rather you have my baby and him live than to see my baby divided with a sword. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Motherhood, if you haven't figured it out, is about sacrifice. I don't believe, listen, if we're not ready to iron clothes and not ready to cook meals and not ready to vacuum the floor and not ready to wash dishes, we ain't ready to have babies. Because it only gets worse. You marry the big baby and then when the little baby's coming, it just gets worse. There has to be a sacrifice, a willingness to give. That's what a real mother does. She's just forever giving. She was willing to do without her own son that he might live. Let me ask you this, moms. What are you willing to do without that your babies might live forever? I'm not talking about now their survival as far as breathing with these hearts and lungs. I'm talking about their eternal salvation. To see to it that heaven is their home when they leave this world. It would have been a good place to bring in some of the quotes from Susanna Wesley. She raised those boys. And she raised them in such a way, she said, if they die without God, their blood will not be on my head, not be on my hands, but be on theirs. A real mother. Her past, it's pretty ugly. But thank God she could still be a good mother. Her compassion. Thank God for mothers that love their children. Let me just say this to you this morning. Not all mothers do. Did everybody hear what I just said? Not all mothers do. And if you have a mother that's living today, you ought to hug her neck. And you ought to kiss her on the cheek and say, Mama, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sacrificing for me. Thank you for pointing me to Jesus. Because it's so very important. Her past, her compassion, her sacrifice. I want to give you this in closing this morning. Her wisdom. This chapter, if you read it, Brother Steve, if I read it and the Lord spoke to my heart about this, I would be emphasizing, and I think it's right to, the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon has been given great wisdom of God. But how many believes that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God? If any of you lacks wisdom, the Bible said, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men, and upbraideth not. Solomon had a wisdom that that was not of this world. But can I say this to you this morning? So did this mother. There is a measure of faith in taking this baby and this other mother that she's in the dispute with. There is a measure of faith in bringing this whole situation before the king. I believe it exemplifies the mother's wisdom. She wasn't willing to go somewhere else. She was willing to go, listen to me carefully, to the authority that God had placed in her life. Listen to me. Many people, when they get in trouble, you know what they do? They run from the authority that God has placed in their life. I'll just say this in honor of my dad. I was telling my brother Jeff yesterday, my dad and I worked together. His favorite saying, Brother Steve, you'll know where this eighth of an inch come from now. He'd say, "My Lord, son, you did not have to cut it so tight." That's what he would say. Well, Brother Steve, you didn't have to cut it so loose either, amen? If you cut it off three times and it's still too short, just give up. Amen? But I believe with all of my heart, the wisdom that this woman displayed in bringing this situation before the king. When I was little, most people, they get in trouble running around with the deacon's kids or running around with the preacher's kids. In my childhood, I got in trouble running around with cousins. That's where I learned bad words. That's where I learned that the police officer was a pig. And one day I said to my dad, we were in that old black station wagon. It looked like a hearse with six kids in the back. They were very much alive. One day I said to my dad, I said, "Look there, Dad, there goes one of them pigs." Would anybody like to guess how many times I said that after that? You see, Dad had wisdom. He taught me that, son, that man with a badge is a man of authority. He's not against us. He's for us. If you'll do what's right, son, you don't have to run from him. You can run to him. Can I say this morning that Jesus is one that would much rather us run to him than from him? If you have a need, Mom, don't run from him. Run to him. He has the answer. He knows what's needed, the Bible said, before we even ask. But he said, "Ask, and you shall receive." How many believes that this day, if you call it court, where they went before the king, how many believes when this woman's going home with her baby, Brother Gary, she's weeping, she's rejoicing. How many believes it means something to this little boy when he grows up and realizes that Mama was willing to give me up rather than to see me divided with a sword? You think about the attitude of that other mother. Go ahead and cut him in half. Give her half and give me half. The problem wouldn't have been half of a baby. The problem would have been half of a heart. But this mother had a whole heart. And the real mother, in the end, God stands her up. And I want you to know this, moms. One day every one of us is going to stand before Jesus. It ain't going to matter what people said. It ain't going to matter what people thought. It ain't going to matter that some said, well, she'll never amount to nothing. That's probably what they said about this lady. But in my heart, I believe God made her a good mother. Amen. And there's one thing that's needed in America today. That's some good mommies and some good daddies. Many are raising their children alone. These two ladies were. But Solomon didn't condemn her. Solomon just got to the bottom of the situation. Said, that's the mother. Give her the baby. Give her the child. The news travels through all the land. Let me ask you this on the other hand, and I'll close this morning. Brother Steve, how would you like to have been the other lady? I'd have been ashamed to show my face in public, wouldn't you? After saying, divide the baby. Cut it in half. How'd you like to have been that mother? That would have been terrible, would it not? Let me say this to you in closing this morning. Don't let the trials of life make you a bitter person. Let them make you a better person. I'm going to make a statement this morning. I hope it's received. But if I've ever known a man that quote unquote had a right to be bitter, it's Brother Brian. That man has been through it. Let me say it like this. That family has been through it. And yet, while some situations you'll see an individual or a family go the other way, away from God's altar, away from God's house, away from God's people, there are others. It just seems like the more the heat's turned up, the more you see Jesus in their lives. That's the kind of mothers we need. That's the kind of fathers we need. That's the kind of children we need. This morning, let me encourage you. You say, preacher, my past ain't much. Well, think about what the girls sang a while ago. You say, preacher, they're 30 years old, some of them. They're still girls to me. Think about what they sang. It's not what you see that makes me a king. It may not look like I have much, but I have everything. And Mom, if you have Jesus, you have everything. Pray for those babies. Pray for the children. Pray for the grandchildren. Don't give up on them. I'm preaching to myself. Don't give up on them. You say, preacher, they'll never amount to anything. Let me say this. Outside of Christ, you're right. Outside of Christ, Brother Larry, none of us ever amount to anything. But when Christ gets involved, He can change things. I'm just glad you come this way today.